From the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21, we'll begin with verse 25 and following. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things began to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. So be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Johnny Erickson Tata was born in 1949. A prominent family, her father John, who she received a namesake for, had participated in the 1932 Olympics as a wrestler. He would eventually be awarded a Hall of Fame recognition for his competition and representation in that sport and for his nation. Johnny was an avid athlete as a young lady, participating in sports and recreational events in her school and throughout her community. But tragedy came for Johnny when she was just 18 years old. She went swimming near her home at the Chesapeake Bay and dove into what was suspected to be a place suitable for diving, but yet was shallow. Johnny instantly was paralyzed and became a quadriplegic. Her neck was broken at the fourth and fifth vertebrae. She never recovered physically from this illness. She said for 2 years, her life was engulfed with anger, with depression, grief, sadness. The shock of being challenged with this adversity, and really, quite honestly, wrestled with whether she wanted to continue life. She committed and considered committing suicide itself, but she said at the depths of her darkness, she found that through her art that she began performing with her mouth and her writing, that she could give others inspiration and strength in their adversity to help them in their journey, in their devastation, and whatever destruction they faced in life. Eventually, Johnny continued to tell her story, and she became one of the most prolific women in ministry throughout the nation, sharing in leadership conferences, giving encouragement and inspiration to others, telling how through God's strength, she had learned to live with her adversity and still find joy amidst the challenges of life. Eventually, Johnny was diagnosed with breast cancer. And once again, she was hit with a battle of, why me? I've gone through so much adversity. Why one more challenge that is faced upon me? And she said, as I was driving home from a diagnosis with my husband, we started reflecting upon this illness. And she said, when I think of the challenges, the sufferings we face in life, I think surely those must be splashovers from hell. Those things that wake us up out of our spiritual slumber when things are going great to remind us that this life is filled with challenges. But she said, as I consider the splashovers of hell, the devastation, the destruction that we face, she said, I consider, well, if that is splashover from hell, what is splashover from heaven? She considered maybe it's the good times, the times when everything is going our way, when we get what we want. But she said, after further contemplation, she realized for her personally, she said, the splashover from heaven is actually when Jesus makes himself known to us in our splashovers from hell. It's his presence. It's his comfort. It's his grace to sustain us no matter what this life offers us. You know, friends, as we consider this scripture today, where Jesus is reflecting with his friends and sharing as he ministers to those in his community, those who indeed knew suffering and challenges, those who felt the persecution of that time, the plagues of physical illness, the destruction of his homeland, the peril that was facing individuals and family members of faith. Even in that, Jesus proclaimed this message today and said, we will face troubles in this world. We will know adversities. As he quotes here in this passage from verse 25 and 26, he says, distress will be so prevalent among the nations and in our land that some people will actually faint from fear. There are troubles. There are perils that we face in this world. But even in the perils, Jesus came to this earth to proclaim, yes, this world is full of peril, but I have overcome the world. That's the message of Advent. That's the hope that we celebrate on this day, that in our Savior and through His love, no matter what we face in this life, we are strengthened for our journey now, and He will ultimately overcome whatever we face through His glory, His gift of life in heaven for us as His people. You know, I think about several years ago when Manya and I served a little interim pastorate in Allsboro, Alabama, just across the Alabama line from Corinth. And I served at the Allsboro church there. And for one Christmas, one of the families in that church gave us a little voucher to go and stay a few days in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, up near the Gatlinburg, the Galleria, the beautiful area, a lovely place to go and visit. And with that voucher, they said, all you have to do is to present this to the booking agency that we use in that area, and they will redeem your gift and give you credit, and you can stay for free. We never went. We never redeemed the gift, even though it had been given to us. And I look back now and I think, oh my goodness, what a wasted opportunity. I wish we'd seized that. And in my great entrepreneurial spirit, I text that family member just a few months ago. And I said, you know, we never did take that trip. And I wasn't so presumptuous to think that they would still let me redeem the trip for free. But I thought, well, maybe they'll give me a discount, you know. They'll keep it all in the family price. And as I sent that text message and inquired about their condo in Pigeon Forge, here was her response. Oh, Jody, I wish we could let you stay, but we sold that condo several years ago. I missed the opportunity. And all I had to do was to receive the redemption, the redeeming gift of another, and know all the joy and fun of that trip. You know, in our text today, not only do we hear that God is with us in challenges, but our scripture tells us that Jesus is our redemption. That we have the gift of overcoming this world because it is a free gift, much greater than a gift to a weekend in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Jesus Christ came and He said, I redeem you. Here is the gift. All you do is embrace my love and it will be with you forever. That's the treasure that our Lord offers to us, that we should be alert at all times, as Christ says in our scripture today. As He proclaims in verse 36, don't wait too late as the Hill family did and missed our wonderful trip to Pigeon Forge. Because friends, the day of salvation is today. The gift of God's love is eternal and it begins at the very moment that we turn to Christ and say, oh Lord, will you deliver me from my brokenness, from the brokenness of this world, and embrace me with your love forever. You see, that's all we do in our journey of faith, is receive the redemption, the gift that's been given to us. Because you know, quite honestly, even as Jesus challenges us in this text today to embrace our faith, to be on guard, to try to walk in the ways of Christ, that is the instruction. That is our goal as Christian people. We want to live with love. We want to turn from sin. We want to model the Lord in every way we can. But friends, don't we all, in our brokenness, in our incompleteness, fall short of the glory of God? We all need a Savior. You know, I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah when he tells us that all of us are like clay. Clay at times that has been spoiled. But the Master comes and He refines us. He restores us. He molds us and puts us back together and transforms us into the joy of our salvation. It's not our goodness. It's the grace of our Savior that redeems us. That's the story of Advent. That Jesus, the Christ child, came unto us, born in Bethlehem to be a Savior for a world that was facing destruction. Isn't that us? Even today, as we face perils, as we face the whys of life personally, professionally, as a nation, as individuals, we too are in need of a Savior daily. Christ came to this world to give us the gifts that we spoke of this morning. The gift of hope. The gift of peace. The grace of joy. And the comfort of love. Those are the promises that Jesus brought to us in His first coming. And those, my dear friends, are the gifts awaiting us in His glory. You know, when I think of claiming that redemption of our Lord, as we're reminded that it's all by God's grace, we strive to walk in the image of Christ, not to get life, but because we have life. We don't walk in the ways of the Lord to get God to love us. We walk in His ways because God does love us. You know, I think of the story of God having the exchange with one of His chief angels once and asking about what the state of the world was in now. Leon and I have this conversation at times and we think, oh, I don't know, it's ever been worse. What is the state of the world? That was the question God asked one of His angels. And the angel went down. It was a male angel. And he evaluated and he came back and he said, God, it's not good. He said, 95% of people are bad and 5% are good. And to that, the Lord was quite upset and He thought, but you know, this He's a guy and He's a guy. And sometimes they get it mixed up. So He sent one of His women angels down. And the lady angel went down and she evaluated and she came back and she said, Lord, it's not good. 95% of people are bad. and only 5% are good. Same prognostication, right? So God, feeling his technology advancements that's now around us in our culture, decided to send an email to that 5% who are good. Just a little email to encourage and give strength for the journey. Do you know what the email said to that 5%? Oh, none of y'all got the email either? Okay. You see, the promise is for us in our 5%. Because the truth is, we all are the 5%, right? We strive to be good, but even our goodness is as filthy rags, as Scripture tells us, for we are made white as snow only through the grace of God. That's the gift of Advent. That Christ the Savior came down from glory to embrace us in our brokenness, in the brokenness of this world, and to deliver us through His love forever. You know, I reflected recently on the reflections of Max Lucado, and he shared a story, Lucado did, of once getting acquainted with a family of black-tail squirrels just outside his study at his church. He said, I saw those squirrels and they would come up to the window and try to communicate with me. He said, one of them even winked at me once. And he said, I winked back in case it was some kind of a secret code. And he said, Lucado would see these squirrels and he thought about as much as he loved watching them and sharing in the excitement of their life and family, he said, never did it cross my mind that I wanted to become a squirrel. He said, never did I want to eat those old dirty nuts, right, Luke? That's all they lived on, were nuts. And he said their whole world in their mind was about 500 square foot right out in front of our church. He said, I would have never wanted their existence for mine. I couldn't go to the Grand Canyon. I couldn't see all of God's beauty and creation and have relationships with others if I became a squirrel. He said, who in their right mind would trade their humanity for an existence like that? And to that, Lucado said, now multiply that transition by about 1 billion. And you'll consider what it was like for Jesus the Christ to come down from heaven and become human for us. You see, He left it all so that we all who trust in Him may have His love eternal. But friends, as we close today, I want you to receive this word of Advent too. Not only is the hope in our Savior for something to come, but as the psalmist says in Psalm 146:5, he said, happy are those. Did you hear it with me? The psalmist said, happy are those whose hope is in the Lord their God. Friends, God's promise for us is not just in heaven, but our most joy-filled existence, even now, is found when we put our hope in God our Savior. This is the day of salvation. Claim it forever. Amen. Let's